I got another one. Two muffins are... They're baking in an oven, and one of them goes... Do you smell? It's like, oh my god, a talking muffin.
Okay, good. I kept making noise until he stopped. That's good. That worked.
You found my off switch. It's just talking over me until I get Hello, Internet. This is Chase Wassenaar, and welcome to part two of K-Pop Shenanigans. Look at May singles news and everything else K-pop under the sun from that month. We did part one last week. Hopefully you checked that out. If you didn't, that's where we did our news. That's where we did five of the 13 songs that we had on our list of songs we all want to talk about. Because it turns out once April was done and all these companies just looked outside and was like, wait, so BTS, Twice, and Blackpink are gone? Great, go! Everyone run right now towards a solo, make it happen.
And everyone wants the big summer song.
And everyone wants the big summer song. And everyone wants to know who my lovely co-hosts are. So let's do that introduction real quick. First, Zach, how you doing, man?
Slightly more tired than when we started, but you know what? I'm committed and should be committed, so let's go.
I don't know what you're talking about, man. This is a fresh episode. It's new to our readers, and therefore our readers.
God. Our readers.
Our readers.
Starting strong.
Which one of us is in the time zone that means this is really late?
And I'm the other co-host would be Kristen. Kristen, how are you doing?
I'm good. I personally have a second wind. I'm feeling energized.
I'm feeling something. I got some energy here because we got a lot of great songs to talk about. I just have to channel that energy into coherent English phrasing.
Good luck with that.
I believe in the me that believes in me. So I'm going to believe in the next group that we're going to talk about because we're getting right back in. Songs we all want to talk about. We did five last time. We've got eight more. And we're starting with a group who I think with this song put themselves in the conversation for a female girl group debut of 2019. This would be Dramatic by Bandit. This one, I wasn't ready for it. I certainly wasn't ready for them to have a comeback this soon after they debuted. I wasn't ready for it to be a performance video rather than a music video. You know, that's something that I think of more with established acts where the fans really want to see like every single look.
Was it a full comeback with like promotions and music show appearances and everything?
I believe they did. It was released as a single from my, as far as I'm aware. It was not something that had been released previously. I can tell you that much. So I don't, whether it was on shows or not, I gotta be honest, that part of my prep has been dropped because it turns out very few people outside of the hardcores. The algorithms always benefit a certain group, but we're talking about Bandit. We're talking about a song in Dramatic that I wasn't ready for, but I'm very glad is here. Kristen, what was your thought when you saw this this single come out?
I was really impressed. I have to say, I totally get your point about the performance video, but I'm so glad they did it because I feel like it gave us a really great showcase of every different performer and their skills and the just focusing on the choreography. This is my new girl group obsession. I'm calling it here. This is my next deep dive. I'm all about this group's vibe.
I don't know how deep the dive can go given that they've only had a couple releases so far, but I get where you're coming from on it. I'm in on Bandit.
It's a shallow dive, but I don't have a lot of time. So it's perfect for me. It was a match made in heaven.
This is a really good group. I Everglow was the one that took the lead, I felt, early this year.
Yes.
I liked Bandit's first hit, but this was the one that cemented to me that they've got staying power, that they've got multiple looks to them. Which, in a performance video, the fact that they did the multiple outfit changes, I thought was really well done. It was cut very well.
It was. I love their clothes, too. I want to dress like them all the time.
Yeah, they really did well. I gotta say, Simhyung is stupidly gorgeous. I drop dead, like a human being looking, like a
goddess.
It's insane. And then on the other hand, we have Yeon, who is best friends with Chungha and is the rapper of the group and is also very good. And it's like, how am I supposed to pick a bias now? You can't both be absurdly talented and wonderful. This is just mean. This is just, now I have to choose the impossible choice. Zach, are you here for Bandit and this song?
My biggest question with this song is, why wasn't this their debut? My comparison that I'm making in this was to Lazata and Han by the group that whose name cannot be pronounced from last year. Han was the better song, but I understood why Lazata was their debut. But this, I don't understand why Hocus Pocus was their debut song. It probably should have been held to a single, you know, a later single that they released, because it's like, this is a better song and it feels like it was something that could be a hit. You know, it's not going too far out. You know, sometimes you have really good songs that you don't debut with because it's like, well, this is really kind of out there and we want our first thing to be as accessible as we possibly can. That's the main thing I was left with this, because this song's really good. You guys have said most of the things I would want to say. Also, we kind of, in a weird way, have the fact that this group wasn't ready until now to thank for the fact that Chungha has a solo career. In 2017, I don't think any of these girls were ready to debut. And they were like, hey, we've got someone from this really popular thing. Let's just run with it. So kind of worked out really well. We got Chungha to debut when she did, and she's had really good songs here. And now they're debuting now when they're ready and can just hit the ground running.
Yeah, and they have. I think that this is the single that has been significantly more successful on the charts and on things like Spotify. Even if the video, I'm not sure, just because it is a performance video, I'd have to check the numbers on that. But this does feel like, oh, wait a second. Maybe we've got this other thing in the tank that we should put out now while we still have this momentum, because we put out our first single in April. It was literally in between Blackpink and BTS, which is a really rough place to be. So I'm really glad they did this, because it does put them on the radar for people that would have missed that during that high profile release. And I do want to say, for people curious at home who are the front runners for the K-pop girl group debut of the year, right now I've got Everglow, I've got Bandit, and I begrudgingly have ITZY. Those are the three.
Begrudgingly?
And any other group right now, I still... Dala Dala is a song that I am very slowly turning from. I don't care for this to, it's interesting to, do I like it? And I don't know where I end up on it. That's going to be the one, the track at the end of the year.
Then just eliminate it.
I'm not eliminating them because they're too big and I respect the craft, even if they're not for me. And I think that, like, they're good at what they do. The other girl groups, these are the three you're aiming for. If you want to take the debut of the year, those are the three you've got to aim for. And you're not going to do it by being a different version of what's already there. And I'm actually going to segue this into a different song than what was next on the notes, because I think it makes more sense and I should have organized my notes better. And that's DMT, Do My Thing, by 3YE.
Pronounced Third Eye.
Third Eye. No.
Yes.
Stop it.
Third Eye is the name. Is the way. it's yes. Third Eye.
How is it there? There's no RD in there. It's, if anything, like I would get. I would get I, because the three kind of looks like an E.
Yeah.
Third Eye.
Don't question it, Chase.
Chase, why you're looking for logic in K-pop group names?
I know.
Choose another hill to die on. I say, as a person who chooses very stupid hills to die on.
God.
Zach, I truly believe that as the weeks go by and you correct our pronunciation of group names, you could just make them up. And I wouldn't know any better.
It's true. At some point, we're just going to believe you.
I will. I will just believe you. You're the authority. You're the veteran.
God, how am I an authority figure in any situation?
You're the authority figure.
You're the expert.
You're the most senior authority figure in this group right now.
It's a low bar. Somebody's got to jump over it.
Oh, man. And you know, so the Third Eye is the name that we are going to pronounce because of reasons that will be beyond me. Thank you, K-pop. Third Eye did make their debut. It was one of those things where for a while I didn't know where it was going to end up in terms of popularity. When you go to their official YouTube channel, it actually hasn't done particularly well, but on 1theK and those other distributors, they had a little bit more traction. It is a three-person group, which is something you don't necessarily see a lot of in general. So I want to turn it to you, Zach, because maybe you have a little bit, certainly, you know, a depth of knowledge when it comes to girl groups. How do you feel about Third Eye and where they kind of fit right now?
So I'll do this in two separate things, and I don't know which to talk about first, the group or the song. Which one? Should I give the group some context to the group first, maybe?
Yeah, let's go group first. That seems reasonable.
Okay, so this is, I did not double check. I looked this up like when the song came out, and I did not double check it because I was terrible at doing my research today. So I believe this is mostly correct. This group debuted actually a while ago. Chase, this is your favorite thing, the re-debut. There was a 5-member group debuted, I think last year, maybe 2017, that was basically dead on arrival. So they kind of looked at it, picked up the pieces and said, okay, actually, let's try again with these three instead, which you don't end up with 3 members in a group unless there's some weird circumstance behind it, is a thing that I've seemed to notice and is actually relevant to another song that we'll be talking about today. And so they're kind of, I'm not so sure about their chances for success because they've basically already failed once. 3 is a weird size to the group, and I don't even know what agency they're with. They're probably with some that this might be all they have going for them. So I'm not exactly liking their chances of success. The song itself, I kind of look at debuts slightly differently than the other songs. And this applies to the bullshit pre-debut things as well. I'm not necessarily looking for how great is this song, because for many, many reasons, your debut song is rarely going to be incredible off the bat. There are some good ones. We've had Bonbon Chocolat by Everglow was the big example from this year of they hit it right away, but that's not always the case. What I'm looking for is this promising? Do I see the potential for more in here? And I absolutely do. It's a strong song. They seem to have been left with the rappers and dancers of the previous group because it feels a lot more hip hop than I was necessarily expecting. I think they have promise. I just don't like their odds of success.
Yeah. This is a hard sell for multiple reasons. And I want to turn to you, Kristen, before I share my thoughts on it, because I'm curious where you land on Do My Thing.
Okay.
God. I hate the title.
I do too.
I hate the title too.
It's the thang part that drives me nuts.
Yeah. Especially because they don't even pronounce.
To me, it's the ma.
Yeah, that's bad too. But
Chase, how do you feel about the do? Let's get an answer here.
You know, I think the do's all right. I didn't mind the ma personally because I at least they pronounce it that way. But they say thing instead of thang pretty clearly.
I think they're
in the song itself.
It's a little inconsistent. I think there are sometimes they do thang and sometimes they do thing.
Yeah,
it's not entirely consistent. So I'm like, just pick one. I don't like the thang thing, but I'd be better with it if you pick one.
So you're saying consistency wasn't their thing?
No, it was not Zach's thing. So I feel like this is a bit derivative of where some girl groups have gone recently, but I feel like, you know, it's a respectable example of a type of K-pop song that has become popular. And now I'm going to say some rude things. I don't mean them to be rude, but they're going to come off as rude. And I'm really sorry, and I don't mean to hurt anyone's feelings. I don't know anyone's name, so this is very bad.
Great.
The purple-haired member of the group stood out as someone that I felt had longer-lasting star power than the other two. The other two members of the group did not seem that into it. This is an example where I think the choreography and lip-syncing was really hard, as it is, but you could tell that they were focused on getting everything right instead of committing to whatever they were trying to convey, and it showed on their faces. They just kind of faded in the background for me.
It's hard to make the case for Third Eye in an age in which we have so many good girl groups debuting this year. Like, so many of them, though. I look at them, and Haeyun is the one you're thinking of with the purple hair. steals the mm-hmm. show. She is an idol that I think has a long career ahead of her, hopefully. I think she's got all the star power, like immediately captivating as soon as she shows up on screen, whether it's a group shot or just her. That's what being a K-pop star looks like. And I very much look forward to seeing where she goes. Yuji was all right. You know, the rapper with the braids there. Yurim I just lost in this song. And it feels like when there are only three of you, you can't lose a third into the background. That seems like a concern. I also think that there's not a lot here that isn't done elsewhere. And don't get me wrong, I like what they're doing. I like the heavy bass line there. I like, you know, the more rap focus for a lot of it. These are things that I personally have always enjoyed in K-pop. But I am also willing to admit that it puts Third Eye in this awkward situation where they're not the most talented of the groups that have come out in the last couple months. And they're certainly not the most original of the last couple groups that have come out in the last few months. So where are they? And I don't think they have the answer. I'm willing to give them a chance to come up with the answer. I think that they could be a bandit type for me that come up with a significantly stronger single in a couple months, doing something that makes them stand out. And we're like, okay, you have my attention. I'm open to it, but I do have concerns. I'll put it this way. We already have a girl group that came in and tried to pre-debut without a clear plan, and then had half the group panic and bail out, and then had to release a second song to explain the first song and apologize that they didn't really mean for it to come off like they were calling out other groups. And in that song, acknowledge that those groups are better than them. What I'm saying is I don't think Third Eye is girl groups flooded, and I am vindicated by everything that I said in that podcast. I stand by it, and apparently the group members agreed because they abandoned ship. But Third Eye is going to be better than that. Whether they are going to be enough to earn their spot in the conversations that you want to have as a girl group, I think is still very much up in the air.
Yeah, like I said, I feel like Third Eye is more potential than realized potential right now. Question is, will they get there?
I don't know.
I don't like their chances, and even if they do realize their potential, they're not in a great position to be successful. So I don't think we'll be hearing much more from them in the future. I'd love to be wrong.
Yeah, yeah. I will certainly be too. Keeping our eye out, and we'll be updating here if they do anything particularly interesting. But we're going to move on. Feedback by Ladies Code. This is a song that I have mixed feelings on. I want to come to you, Zach, before I say really anything about it, because I don't really know Ladies Code at all. This is a group that might as well be completely new to me.
Oh, you don't know? Okay, interesting.
I'm mostly out of the loop. I think that maybe a couple of their songs have come across my Spotify feed, and it hasn't typically been the kind of pop song that I love. So I'm curious where you are on them and how this fits into that larger picture.
So this is going to be a little strange and awkward then. I thought maybe you'd have some knowledge of this because, and Kristen, I'm guessing you don't know anything about them either.
No.
Okay. So I had actually, until this song, had never listened to Ladies Code before. Not because I was unaware of them, but because of the way that I found out about them. I hate to bring things down, but I have to this has to be addressed. They debuted in 2013 as a 5-member group. Sometime in 2014, I don't remember exactly when, they were coming back from an event. Driver was going way too fast in the wrong situation, flipped the van they were in. And one of them died at the scene. One of them died 4 days later in the hospital. One of them spent nearly a year trying to recover. So the three that we have in the group now are the ones that survived. The first time I ever heard about Ladies Code was in this context of somebody talking on Reddit about this. So that was hanging over my head every time that I thought, oh, I might look into them. And then I just remembered this. So that's the short version of the story. I told you all that just to get, you know, a little bit of context for where the group is coming from, because, you know, they're a 3-member group, kind of an awkward size. Like I just mentioned for Third Eye, that's what I was thinking here of, like, you usually have some extenuating circumstances for there being a 3-member group that's almost never done intentionally. And also the kind of the age of the group. It came up as I was listening to the song of it. Well, one, they are going in a lot of places in the video for a retro feel to, you know, there are shots and things that go for a bit of a retro feel, especially because they love using those 50s microphones. And it does feel a bit older in K-pop. Now, by this older, I do mean about 2013 or so. And funny that six years like that can be older, but K-pop moves at a blisteringly ridiculous pace sometimes. The song overall is pretty good. My thought on it now is, okay, I have not listened to Ladies Code before, and now I feel like, okay, I should go back and see what they have and catch up. Enough of the letting these things hang over my head. Just go back and you'll probably enjoy it.
Yeah, this song is a lot of fun. I think this is a song that, for me, the chorus saves what would otherwise have been a pass for me. The chorus is amazing. I just absolutely, it's got a little bit of the funk to it. It's got a little bit of like a jazziness to it. It's just fresh and it's fun and it puts a smile on my face every time I hear it. And that's really, sometimes that's all I need from a song. It did not set my world on fire, but it wasn't trying to. It was just trying to be a fun song. And I think that it does exactly what it wants to. I don't know that I love the photo shoot concept, just because it's so meta, and I just don't, like, if you're gonna go meta, you need to go all the way meta, and I don't think this goes far enough. But overall, I am pleasantly surprised to find another girl group that does some fun music that I can get behind in this particular case. Kristen, where did you stand on feedback?
Not as positive as you, unfortunately. I feel like the song was good. The chorus is good, but it's just not, it's not that good for me. I like what I saw, but it leaves me wanting to see more from them, but in the sense of I have not really seen enough to get a great sense of who you are as a group or who you are as artists, and not like an, oh, I can't wait to see what they do next thing. It just left me wanting something more.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from on that. I do feel like it's a B plus song rather than like,
yeah,
something that's gonna set the world on fire.
I would agree with that.
There's something missing to set it over the edge, but I do really like the chorus. I think that there are a lot of pieces here that can fit well, and it does make me, just like Zach, I do feel like I need to go check out some of their other stuff and see what I can find, because this seems like a group that does a lot of things that I like. Even if they're not perfectly executed here, I think that there's enough there to be worth the listen and worth that dive in. Who knows? Maybe we're talking about a later comeback where they'll try to win you over, Kristen. But we'll move on to a song that I... This song is awesome. This song fucking rocks. And it's Undercover by Ace, and I mean that literally. Not a lot of K-rock in our list. And this isn't necessarily a rock group by any means. They are a boy group. They had a song earlier in the month that was much slower, much more of like a ballady type, that I thought was not very good, even for like that genre of boy group song. So when I saw like, oh man, they released another thing, well, guess I better just knock this out so I can add it to the list and move on. And oh my God, I'm so in. I have so many reasons I love this. I want to let you guys talk about it before I steal all of your points, because I could spend 30 minutes on this song alone. Kristen, let's start with you. How do you feel about Undercover?
Maybe I'm not as passionate about it as you are, but they go so hard right out of the gate and it never lets up. It's so intense and it was almost refreshing in a weird way. I do have to say there was a little too much electric guitar for my taste, but I respect. And it just means that this is a song that goes on a playlist for a more specific mood than just my generic K-pop playlist. And also, the fashion is so good. They literally, it's like 10s across the board. Every aspect of this pretty much gets a 10 from me. It's damn near flawless for a song of its kind, in my opinion.
Yeah. I love the way you phrase it. They do go hard. They go hard and they never stop going hard. And I love that. I've loved it when NCT's done it. I love it when any boy group is willing to embrace that. It's the same reason that Stray Kids really took the next leap for me, because Miro was a song that went really hard and never stopped. And Miro is one of my favorite songs of the year. This song could very easily, I don't think it's going to unfortunately chart high enough to be a song that I can put there, but I can tell you right now, it's going to be the first honorable mention on my list when it doesn't.
You know, you can make your own full top 10 list. These are arbitrary requirements that we have on here. You can make your own top 10.
No.
He has to follow them.
There's only one rule set, and it is the K-pop shenanigans rule set, and all other lists are incorrect. That's how it works, right? That's how this goes. We get to establish, because we're such an influential and large podcast that everyone's listening to.
I have fully written my true top 10, and I could very well publish it right now, so even I'm not following your rules.
That says a lot, because you are the rules guy, I would say, of all of us here on the podcast. I want to hear from you then. Before I my wrap up here, what are your thoughts on Undercover?
So I am going to say something that on its own will sound deliberately provocative, but there will be context coming later. We are almost out of the stretch of songs in this list that I would say I think this month was more about quantity than quality. Now, yes, I wanted that reaction. I wanted something like that. What I really mean by that in a more precise and less provocative way is I like this song. I do not have very strong feelings more than that about it. There's a pretty solid number of songs in here that will be right around a 3. I like these, but it for some reason did not quite click with me. You've covered most of the things that I like about the song. It just, for some reason, it did not quite get there, and I can't tell you why, because most of the elements that are in the song are the type of thing you would think is exactly the type of thing I want. I don't know. My brain is weird. It just does the things that it does, and I try to explain it.
That's fair. I have to admit, we haven't talked about this on the show, but I'm surprised because I know you like J-rock, so I know you like a lot of rock elements.
Look, I cannot, like, there are some times I cannot explain where these things come from. Just, there would be many times where I see a thing where it's, you know, hear a song or anything, anywhere, of just, this is made almost entirely, almost perfectly for me. Why don't I like it? It happens sometimes.
Okay.
Beside all that, through watching the video just before we started this podcast more than 3 hours ago, Jesus, what? I made a couple of notes of things in this video because I did not realize the first few watches through. This video is kind of bonkers. And the two things I want to point out, well, let me just read the notes that are here. And these are going to have to be heavily bleeped. Yellow and black thing? And what is his hair? What the am I seeing? This is the scene where the guy's in like the giant, he's wearing I don't know which guy it is, but he's wearing the black like suit with this big poofy furry yellow thing like around.
I love that thing.
Like on the lapels of it. And then his hair has these little things like reminds me of like the little balls in Sailor Moon's hair.
Yes.
He has his hair pulled up into these things, but I'm just like, what am I seeing here?
I loved this look so much.
I love him. Yeah, absolutely.
It's incredible, but also, what are you doing?
Stealing the show is what he's doing.
Best life.
His name's Wow, by the way. I just want to point that out. His name is Wow.
His name's Wow. Okay.
And he's awesome. And I'm in.
He is.
That is a great eponym. Wow.
So much, like, let me put it this way. It is a look that not a lot of people could pull off. You have to have a lot of confidence. You have to have a very clear way of carrying yourself. I think
feel like
he kills
it's him
it.
And Rihanna.
Yeah,
Rihanna can pull it off.
You know what? That's what we've been waiting for. We've been waiting for the Rihanna comparison on our K-pop episode. And now here's the thing. I don't disagree with you. I also want to point out that I haven't checked the view count for this in a while, and it is at 2.2 million. So maybe I can dream. I want to dream. I want to believe.
Let's dream the dream.
But do you have anything else you want to add before I take
us
home?
Yes, I do. And need I repeat myself about video views?
I know. Let me dream.
The one other note that I took was at one point on the screen, a disclaimer shows up that says, keep away from babies and children to avoid danger of suffocation, followed by the names of the group members. What the f*** are you trying to say? Are you? Do you mean to imply that this group suffocates babies? I hope not. But if not, what are you saying? Why is this disclaimer here?
I feel like there's something about like they stole your breath away or whatever else in there.
Yeah,
where it's just like, yeah, you're gonna suffocate because they take your breath away.
Okay, but babies and children. They specifically call out babies and children.
I know.
Video's just so intense.
There's a lot going on here. And I will say, WoW steals the show for me. I love the thing he does with his voice for the second half of his part in that verse is fascinating, and it clicks with my head, and mm-hmm. I love that. I will also say, a shout out to Chan, who tries to look like a badass rapper wearing the most nerdy glasses he could have possibly picked from the
set. I love those glasses. I love them so much.
Look, I'm a fan. I used to own a pair that was pretty much that. So I understand. But the thing is, the difference between him and I is that I never once was mistaken as a badass or even remotely cool while that was happening. I feel like he does. And I feel like it works for him. And that is a style choice that I don't think very many people could do. So what I'm trying to say here is I love this song very much. And it was made for me, and it lives up to the hype on that. Clearly did not land for Zach here, so I can't say that all rock fans are going to be on board, but
I will say that I liked the song. It just didn't go further than that. I hate being misconstrued, so.
Clarification appreciated. That yeah. said, compared to how much I love the song,
right.
I think that is a fair gap that we yeah, see there in expectations.
This is one I will be puzzling over forever. Like, why don't I like Bohemian Rhapsody? I don't like that song. I should. I don't get it.
So you don't know this, but Bohemian Rhapsody is my favorite song of all time.
Oh my God.
In American yeah. pop.
So, seriously?
Yeah, are you kidding me? That it is a devotion to excess and self-indulgence in a way that
is I really like the song. It's not my favorite.
I think it's the best song of all time. I should rephrase that because favorites change all the time.
You've gone even stronger.
I think it is.
I understand what you're saying. And mm-hmm. here's the thing. I don't know enough to agree or disagree with that if you can separate best from favorite. And that's an entirely different conversation I don't even yeah. know how to have. My thought is just whenever I listen to that song, I'm like, all the pieces seem to be there. I should love this thing. Why don't I care for it? It's the weird thing about how I don't understand how my brain works. And if we keep going down this tangent, we will never finish this podcast.
Okay.
So that's the scale. And I'm curious, all you listeners at home, where you end up on the Zach to Chase scale. Or if you end up kind of like Kristen, kind of in the yeah. middle between those two things. So
we also need to get Shay's opinion.
We do need to get Shay's opinion. I don't think Shay's heard this one. She was too busy with the next song on our list, which has actually been out for a while, but they re-released it as a single and put out the music video, so it counts, dang it, which is Promise by Ateez. I have a lot of love for Ateez in general. I think Pirate King is amazing. I think Treasure is very good. This one in particular, I can't say is my favorite song of theirs, but it was definitely enough that I had to put it on my list of stuff to talk about, and I want to turn it to you, Zach. Where does this song rank for you as someone who's not necessarily as into the boy groups as the other people on the show?
As I've done many times so far at this one, I'm literally just going to read off my notes because they sum this up very well. First thought was, okay, how long and in how many places did they shoot this video? Because it's all over the place. Literally. Many different places in the world. And then my second one was, fun song, but don't have that much to say about it. It's what I said about the quantity versus quality thing. There are a lot of songs that I like, but not a lot that I love.
That's fair. I will say, because I want to represent the biggest Ateez fan in our typical podcast. Unfortunately, as you can probably tell by this point, Shay was not able to join us. But
really?
Yeah.
Hadn't noticed.
Yeah, he's actually been sitting in the corner this whole time just waiting for one of us to mention.
Did I accidentally mute someone for too long?
Oh, man. Yeah, that was rude. I can't believe you did that. But also, I sent him this music video, and the response I got was, this makes me angry because I love them so much that it makes me upset. And I've never loved anything so much that it made me mad. That's not an emotion that I have in my arsenal, But that's, if you are a huge 80s fan, I imagine this music video, seeing them perform, the big one I noticed is Moscow. I couldn't quite tell how many different cities there were versus how many different locations within a, you know, like a city that would be very diverse, where I did not keep track on my city scorecard.
Yeah, but at the least they had to travel to Russia to shoot part of this.
That's true. And all those people in the video got free live performances of the 80s. Like, come on. Sold out in the US within 24 hours, but some random guy in Moscow has no idea who they are, got to watch a free show right at street level. It's just, I am jealous of those people for sure. Kristen, where do you stand on The Promise?
I gotta say, I really like this kind of video. The song I enjoyed, and I enjoyed their choreography. It's not the showiest song, and it's got a little bit of a throwback vibe, which I enjoyed at the time I watched it. It was enjoyable. Not my favorite. But there's just something about the video. I just love these kinds of videos. It just enchanted me.
It kind of reminded me, and yes, I know there's differences in how they are, but the song Brave by Sarah, whatever, however you pronounce it.
Sarah Bareilles. The one who's now on the same record label as Monsta X.
Yeah. And the one whose name I hilariously, purposely mispronounced in the last podcast. I think I called her Sarah Bareilles. Because whenever I look at her name, I can't quite parse it. But I'm thinking of the video for Brave, which it was done by different people dancing in different places, but it had the same kind of intercut jumping around of many, many different locations.
I can see that comparison. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot to it. And I do like those kind of videos. I'm with Kristen on that. I can't say that this is my favorite AT song, but I will say Mingi continues to be my bias for this group. Can I share with you guys, we don't usually do this, but there is a very popular site when you're looking for information on K-pop groups, which I mostly recommend, and it's kprofiles.com.
Yes.
That is the site. Can I share with you the fun facts that they have listed for Mingi?
Yes.
I'm almost afraid.
So fact number one, he has a brother. Fans say he looks like Icon's Bobby. So that's just fans think he looks like another person. He said his personality is almost identical to his father's. No clarification on what that means. He wanted to be an idol because he was interested in rapping and dancing, and that put him into the field. So, you know, I liked rapping and dancing, so I decided to be a rapper and dancer. I guess that would get you into the field.
This feels...
rapping and dancing. And he likes nacho chips. So
it is very funny going to K-Profiles and finding the lesser known groups and seeing them flail at trying to find something, anything to fill up that section.
Yeah.
They got to give us something better to work with here.
Well, the thing is, this stuff normally comes from radio show appearances, variety shows, interviews, things like that. And when you're a newer, lower profile group, you don't have a ton of those. Then you go to something like Twice, where they have obnoxiously long pages for every individual person in the group because they've been on 80 bajillion hours of shows. But, oh, man. I mean, that one isn't as bad as some of them I've seen, but it's reaching.
Yeah, it did not have a lot to go on there. We're going to go on to Really, Really by Cherry Bullet. This is another girl group debut. I have them as the best of the
this
tier
is not
two
a debut.
Girl groups.
This is not a debut.
They debuted Q&A this year. Rookie group. Rookie group.
Yeah, there you
Excuse
go.
Me. I understand. I was getting there, but thank you. I appreciate it. They are a rookie group. I would say the tier two of the girl groups that have debuted this year. This is their second single, and it's cute. It's a cute song. I know where I went on it, but before I share that, I want to talk to the person who may have the same take as me. Zach, where do you feel about this Cherry Bullet song?
I am interested in knowing why you think I have the same opinions as you. I'm not saying that you're wrong, because I don't know what you think, but it just you go straight to, oh, I think you have the same opinions as me. Well, why? I have literally said nothing to you about this.
I'm not saying you do have the same opinion. I'm saying
you're playing
curious,
the probabilities.
I'm saying I'm curious if, because I think, go for it. I'll let you know.
So I don't know why I did that. I am getting tired.
Okay, guys.
What?
Reset. We're doing fine. The power of editing will make some of this make sense.
Or I may just leave it in because it's funny. But so...
This is what happens when we go for so long.
Hey, you know what? This may not be a bad thing. It may be a bad thing for my sleep schedule, but it may be more entertaining. Loopier may be better. So to get straight, to get to the point where I was trying to go, I usually try to come up with some sort of way to weave around and kind of tell a story. The fact that I'm telling you this probably tells you I didn't quite figure out how to do that. Q&A is definitely the stronger of the songs that they've put out. This one isn't bad, but it's basically just a rather typical summer song. They did show one thing that I was interested in seeing, in that they do, at least for now, seem to be sticking to the idea that their videos are video games. You know, and so now I guess this is the augmented reality games video as opposed to the last one with shooters. It shows that, okay, that doesn't mean they're restrained in the types of songs they can do, but it's fine. Q&A had a lot more to go for, as evidenced by the fact that I am trying to pull up this song in my brain and I can see the video, but I cannot hear the song. Part of that may be the lack of sleep at the moment, but I can pull up some of the other songs that we're, you know, I've been able to pull up all the other songs in my brain just fine so far. So, like I said, it's in this stretch of I don't love anything, but I like these things so far, and I think we're just about out of it.
Well, Kristen, do you agree with what Zach just threw out there when it comes to the really, really?
Well, I'm sorry. I'm reading my notes on this song, and I think I've just gotten even more apathetic towards it as you guys have talked about it. My notes were, it's on the edge of too cutesy for me, and I enjoy the song, but I felt like the video game stuff was a gimmick that was focused on too much, and now I'm just like, yeah, it's entirely too cutesy for me. This is not for me. I just can't. I can't do it. I don't want to do it.
You know what, Kristen? I agree with you. This is not meant for you and I. It's meant for teen boys. That's what this is.
What are you saying about me?
Do teen boys like this? Are there any teen boys listening? Because please tell me if you like this.
I feel like I got attacked for that opinion for two completely different reasons, which was amazing.
I'm calling out to our teen boy listeners. Please tell me if you like this.
Cute girls are cute. They're young. They're not like, you know, they're playing into the cutesy vibe that I think fits more with younger people necessarily than the, you know, the field as a whole, especially in the way that the video is caught out, right? Like when you think about the idea, like, oh, all their concepts are video games, which is great because it looks cool. And the female fans who are watching will go with that. And it also is going to appeal to young men in Korea who typically, you know, gaming, especially PC gaming, is incredibly popular in that country. And we shouldn't underestimate the marketing angle of why they're doing things the way that they are, beyond just it's artistically cool. And I do think that the video game elephants add a lot in terms of the color and the visuals to this song, which is needed because I think that otherwise this is not a song that is particularly captivating. There is not a single moment that gets lodged in my head. I do find it addictive. I do find that it is something that I've had all the songs that we have in this section on loop for about 3 days in a row to prepare for this podcast. And I still enjoy it when it comes on. Because here's the thing, you know, not everything. I really enjoyed Detective Pikachu, even though a large portion of that movie was devoted to an audience that is younger than me and isn't as genre savvy and therefore aren't going to pick up the plot beats as well as someone like, you know, in our generation who have obviously watched a lot of those kinds of detective movies. But it could still be great because of what it brings to the table. And I think Cherry Bullet are talented. I think they're good at what they do. I don't know that what they do is the thing that I love most, but I do think they have a place. I do think they're not in the rookie girl group conversation of the year conversation yet, but I do think they're consistent, and consistency to me is valuable. We're gonna move on. We've got two more of these left, guys. We're in the home stretch, and I don't know that we have a lot to say about this one. You Know Better by Hylan. Hylan, am I getting that right? Please tell me.
I'm not 100% sure. It's either Hyolyn or Hyolyn. I don't know. I don't know exactly how the Y fits in there.
Okay. I'm going to go with Hyolyn because that sounds better than what I just threw out there. Yeah, so it does. You know better.
Yes, I know better.
I appreciate you so much. The You Know Better is very... The video is what got me. I do not particularly care for ballads in general. I think this podcast has been pretty clearly weighted against them as a whole. This one got me. Hyolyn, I just... This one spoke to me, and I think it has so much to do with the way it's presented. Kristen, I know you're not a huge ballad person either, and I know you don't have any connection with Hyolyn before. What did you think of the song?
I did not expect to enjoy this song as much as I did. I loved the opening monologue, the vulnerability. She has the range. And it was so powerful. This ballad really stood up for itself. It was not a flimsy, weak, waffling ballad, of which I've heard many. It was powerful, and I loved it. I don't think I'm going to listen to it that much, but I really enjoyed it, and I appreciate you. I appreciate what you're bringing.
Mm-hmm. Zach, how are you feeling about this song?
So do you remember that although I gave either a week ago, if you're listening to this, or 2.5 hours ago, when you mentioned ballads and I said although, this is the although.
Yeah.
Now, it's not ballad like karaoke guy panning over his collection of VHS tapes. This is like more of IU-ish pop ballad. But one thing that I don't, maybe it may have been appreciated at the time. Oh my God, did Sister have a ton of vocal talent in that group. Hyolyn is probably the best of them. And this is the perfect example of, I do not tend to like this sort of thing, but she is so good and everything hits just right. This one just really, really works. The one criticism I have of anything in here really is I don't tend to like when music videos start off with spoken monologues or things like that. And maybe part of it was I don't know anything of what was being said. So I was kind of like, but you know, I skip ahead 30 seconds and you're past it. Other than that, it's like, it's not my thing generally, but this one just really works. And I don't think I would tell you to tell her to change anything about it. I don't think there's anything wrong with this one.
Yeah, I will say, I think it's worth listening to the monologue and putting the captions on because they did do translations for this one. The one that stood out to me, she said, quote, "I hope I can endure better. I hope I won't give up," when referring to the struggles that she's had with her career. I'm not going to be the person that could tell you everything about Hyolyn's story. What I can tell you is that this was a song in a video that put her vulnerabilities to bear and laid them out with no protection. There was no crazy cinematography. There wasn't even really a background. It's just her in the darkness, in this black space, singing her heart out about a regret and, you know, losing someone that she loved. And she sells every single moment of this song in just her expression, in terms of how she carries herself, in terms of the music, in terms of just her voice. Like, you can feel it. You can feel the pain in it in a way that just feels so genuine. And an industry that is often categorized by the way in which it can produce, you know, these very, you know, I don't want to say formulaic because that's dismissive of the art behind it, but something that is processed through the filter of what a pop song should be and how we would calculate and market and whatever. And this is just, she just throws this at you and says, this is the song. This is me. This is me being me and singing this song and nothing else to back this up. And it works. And I think that says so much about her. You know, I the way I put it in my notes is, you know, she just has that vast darkness behind her that she fears will hold her back. And she hopes that she can figure it out. And I hope she does too, because I want more music from her. That's like, I genuinely loved this. And you know, some of it is that despite being a ballad, there is a strong bass. It does have power to her voice that really pushes the song forward. There's a lot to that in terms of making it feel less like a ballad to people that aren't necessarily into it. But whether you love ballads, whether you don't love ballads, this song's really good. and you should go check it out.
Yes. And also, I don't know if she's released any more than just this, but I do know she has at least one other solo song called C-C-S-E-E-S-E-A. Also really good. It is more poppy than this, but still just really good.
Yeah, it's just really good, guys. Just go listen to it. It's good. Even if you don't like ballads, it's good. If you like ballads, oh my God, congratulations.
You hit the jackpot.
Yeah, this is the one.
This is a ballad that a bunch of us who hate ballads loved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Shout out to you, Heelan. I wish you the best, and I can't wait to see what you do next. Got one more song. We're almost there, and we have saved my favorite song of the month for last. I won't say the best because I don't speak for my co-hosts, at least not at their will, not with them being on board.
Definitely
with
not
those
at my
statements.
Will.
So I'm going to do something here. I'm not going to say anything other than that this song is called Me, and it's by CLC, and I'm going to let you two do your thing, and then I will add my thoughts in the end. Kristen, I want to start with you. What do you think of the song?
I feel like it's just so fucking strong. CLC is killing it, and I will accept whatever they give me. I don't have the words to express how much I enjoyed this. They had me when they used The Birth of Venus, honestly. I'm that into art and visuals that it's just like, yeah, you referenced a great Botticelli painting. Yeah, I'm in. And then the song was also amazing, too. It all was amazing. I'm sorry. I can't get more specific than that at this point. It's just... wonderful.
I like a lot of what you said. I want to add my bit, but I'm gonna show restraint and let Zach go next. Zach, thoughts?
You give me a tough act to follow.
And yet follow you must.
You must follow it.
Yeah, I must follow it because Chase is being Chase.
He is.
and railroading me here.
Wait, hold on one second. Is it railroading when, one, you agreed to be on the podcast, and two, you have to give your thoughts on this song at some
give
point?
Give your thoughts.
No, the railroading is you forcing me to go now.
I feel like, at best, the only thing that could have changed is that the train could have been delayed for a minute for you, buddy. I feel like I'm leaving this wide open for you to take the train wherever you'd like, but you are the conductor right now. What do you think of this song?
It's very hard to follow that one, especially because what you said. Oh, you said, oh, it's your favorite of this month, and Kristen has this, and I don't have that strong of a reaction to this song. Compared to other CLC songs, at least No and Black Dress are ahead of it to me. The thing I got to with No was that song was tough to get to like, because it seems to challenge you from the moment it starts. This one did not do that to me. And so it is strong. It is easier to like, but it doesn't reach the same weird heights that song does. I am down here. The moon is up there. I am not going in that direction. I'm not over the moon about the song. I like it, but I am going to... I am not... That metaphor just crashed horribly and
it's
failed.
Okay.
But I think... I hope I am understood without being crucified.
I... respect your opinion.
There's a butt coming.
Nope. That's a full thought. Here's mine.
No butt.
I love this song so much. This is now the front runner for Song of the Year for me. If it hits the Hot 100 at the end, I love everything about this. The way I put it, this is CLC's year now. I don't make the rules, but that's where we are. This is theirs, and someone has to take it from them if they're going to get the top spot from me, because I loved everything about this. The drop is perfect. They set it up brilliantly. The drop hits. It hits hard. The girls just work off of that energy so well, and everyone is really getting behind it. I love they do the dropout so we can get some a cappella singing in there, because thank you EXO for giving us this trend, and thank you CLC for nailing it, because not only are they interesting, they're talented. It's not just that they have the rap attitude, they are genuinely good singers. And everything about the way they present themselves, aesthetically, they nail it. They are all, like, the average level of attractiveness within this group is off the fucking charts. And I wouldn't mention it 99% of the time, but it's just, it's so radiant. The ads, like, they have this way of carrying themselves that just brings you in and clings to you. And Yoon, congratulations. You have won the ability to be biased. I don't know whether that's a prize or whether that's something that would be anything other than that it is. Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Things I love do tend to go in a certain direction. But Yoon blew me away on this song. This song blew me away. This is one of those songs, I don't use this term outside of my very, very favorites. I am embarrassed by how much I love this song. I am, because it turns me from the analyst that tries to have these intricate, detailed thoughts about why I love a thing so much and why I put this thing over that thing, and it makes me dumb. Because I, at the end of the day, Kristen, despite everything I just said, my heart is doing what you're doing, which is just, it's amazing. It's an amazing song. It's so good. You should listen to it. Stop.
Yeah.
Actually, don't stop the podcast. We're almost done and we really appreciate you listening in. But when it's done.
Oh, and I was about to click.
Stop the podcast and go check it out. It's so good, you guys. CLC is really good. This is their year. We're living in it. I want them to chart at the end of the year chart so that I can bring this up again. Oh, I love it so, so much. But you know what, guys? That is all the songs we all wanted to talk about. So now we have to share the things that we loved, hated, found interesting, stuff that ultimately did not make the show, but that we want to make sure that you folks at home know our thoughts and feelings on. So we're going to do our 60 seconds is how we do this. You have 60 seconds.
If I try to make the 60 seconds about how I love curling, you're going to kick me out, aren't you?
You could find out. This would be the time to find out.
I'll come up north and kick your ass.
If you go north right now, you'll end up in a very wrong place trying to find me.
Fair enough. I'm willing to believe in you and your ability to do 60 seconds of K-pop. So much, Zach, that now you're going first. Congratulations.
Okay, so this is the price you pay for being a snarky ass.
I'm sorry.
Absolutely right. Don't apologize that he has to do this.
I thought he was calling me a snarky ass.
No.
No, I was calling myself a snarky ass.
You are a snarky ass.
I am more than willing to live up to that.
Okay, before whatever few rails we might have are long gone, Zach, I'm starting your timer. Your 60 seconds starts now.
Okay, there was Oh Oh by Barry Good. Barry Good is actually quite good. I'm not going to make the bad pun there. And so I need to check out more of their stuff. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about was there was that song We Are by EXID, put out as kind of their depressing farewell song that I don't know why every group does this. They usually do it upon disbandment. So the fact that they put this one out now basically feels like they're admitting to it. And I've realized I don't think any of these songs are good. You know, these really depressing of like, oh no, now we're saying goodbye because, I don't know, sad and everything. None of these are good, but how much you get into them seems to depend entirely on how much you cared about the group. They're all going to be basically the same thing, but they're doing these videos that show images of the group that you loved. And so if you really love the group, then you're going to be caught up in it. And if you're not, then you're not. And I don't know why that just clicked with me when watching this one through, but it did. And that's what I have to say.
That was exactly 60 seconds. Zach, whoa. You have a timing on this. This is the second time you've done this in three times.
You've got a knack.
I'm tired enough. My vision is getting a little blurry, so I can't quite perfectly read the time codes. I was trying to do it, but I can't read the time codes in Audacity, so I just kind of winged it.
Absolutely incredible. Kristen.
Okay.
You got this. 60 seconds. You ready?
Okay.
Time starts now.
Okay. Thinking About You by Katie Kim. It's a sexy, slow song, and it's really f***ing good. Superhuman by NCT127. A great redemption after the cringe of Wakey Wakey, although it doesn't completely gel with me because of the amount of weird techno. B by Rothy? Magnetic, adorable. Surprising to see someone so new and young have such command, and I'm excited to see what she does next. And then I'm going to end it with the head scratcher for me, Nada by Hitchhiker. why. I do not care for this at all. The beat is fine. I'm kind of upset that this is in my life now. That's it.
Okay. 40 seconds. Okay. You got under time. Both times now you've been at about 40 seconds.
I know. I really need to push myself next time.
It's okay.
You could just talk slower.
I could.
That is also fair. If you do one word every second for 60 seconds, time will theoretically get there. I appreciate it. I'm going to go into my 60 seconds, and because I'm timing myself, I can just say that I start now. Hold On Me by Namwoo Jin featuring Junflo. The hook is really, really good, even if the rest of the song isn't. Aw Yeah by Winner, the happiest breakup song I have ever heard, and whether that's good or bad is up to you. I Love You by Drunken Tiger, you got the wife acting in the singer's video and recreating their wedding, and it's just the sweetest thing, and I love it very much for that. Eclipse by GOT7, the chorus here is good because of the bass, but I really don't understand why they're as popular as they are, and this song is not the one that convinced me. Breathe by AB6. I'm glad we can stop the charade that Hollywood wasn't their debut, but I'm buying stocks on these guys as a potential rookie boy group of the year if they continue on the path that they're on, because they seem to be getting better every time. Superhuman by NCT127. It is an absolute travesty that this song did not end up in the songs we all want to talk about section, and we gave Wakey Wakey time on our show. NCT releases the best song of their career, and we don't find time for it. That's wrong. B by Rothy. Congratulations, we're finding the young IU. Buy stocks now. She's going to be something special. And that is a podcast.
Woo!
You went over by about half a second.
How dare you? You know what, man? I thought about going 5 seconds over to bring up the fact that Yeri can carry an entire song on her own in Tuesday is Better Than Monday, and you know what? I snuck it in now. Ha-ha!
And also, I know your frustration with NCT and Superhuman not being on the list, and you're welcome.
That was a podcast, everybody. If you enjoyed this, we appreciate you. I feel like this is the show that really is going to test your love of us and our format. Let us know how you felt about how we split things up. This was obviously a super packed month, so it probably didn't feel like we did two shorter episodes. But if you like generally the idea of how we split this, we think this is going to be a great way to release content more regularly. So we hope you enjoyed it. We hope that you enjoy the songs here. Please let us know. We're on Twitter at K-pop shenanigan without the S, because unfortunately Twitter is mean and someone else already has that one. You can find me at Chase Wassenaar. Chris, and where can the people at home find you?
They can find me on Twitter and Instagram at kpignolo.
And Zach, how about you?
My Twittery bullshit can be found at Rambly Badger, and when I finish any projects that go up on the internet, I talk about it in Ravenous Badger, so that one has much less stuff. So if you can't stand too much of my bullshit, that's the one to follow. If not, then go with the other one.
Fair enough. Thank you so much for joining me on the show. Thank you so much, future Zach, for editing this, because oh man. And thank you so much to everyone listening, and double thank you to everyone who left a review or a comment or in any way talk to us about the show. We appreciate every single one of you. And until next time, goodbye, internet.
Bye.
Good night,